Welcome into episode 147 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Today we are talking about giving as we get ready for Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We know that's 2 days early, but
it's honestly one of my favorite weeks of the year.
It's so good.
As you think about, like, if you're ranking the weeks out of the year, obviously Christmas week is great. The week we go to Florida is always in the top five for me. Honestly, the week the football season starts is pretty high for me. But man, Thanksgiving week is just phenomenal. There's a vibe, a buzz.
Oh yeah,
a little buzz.
And there's multiple things to it, because I think it's, you know, first off, November's kind of a depressing month. Like, it's October is fall time, it's beautiful.
November's getting real cold.
Correct, exactly. And so it kind of culminates, and then it's the kickoff of Christmas season. And so everybody loves Christmas, but it's also like, yeah, it's kind of the culmination of fall season itself before we really get into winter. Big fan. We love the day. We are going to get into some fun stuff later. And yeah, that'll be good. So stick around, especially toward the end, as we'll have a little game.
Bit of a holiday episode.
But yeah, a bit of a holiday episode. So we're actually getting into giving, and I was surprised. I mean, we're 147 episodes in. We have not done a giving episode, and yet we do believe that giving should be a big part of a godly young man's life. We want to be charitable people. We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to look at some concepts and principles that I think we should relate to. I'm going to give us some stats real fast, then get your intro thoughts so we can just get into the episode. But there are over 2,300 verses that relate to the concepts of giving, money, and possessions in the Bible. I thought that was very interesting. Most of God giving to us, but 2,300 or over 2,300 verses. Here's some stats on giving, though, in America, that I thought were very interesting. As we get ready to transition toward Christmas time, toward the holiday season, 62% of Americans plan to make monetary donations during this holiday season. I think this was from last year, so that would have been 2024. Approximately 30% of all annual charitable giving or donations takes place in December. Approximately 30%, so almost a third of all giving takes place in 1 month of the year. It's a very charitable time of year. And so, yes, we're 147 episodes in. We need to discuss it. But also the week of Thanksgiving, we're about to enter into the holiday season, which is one of the most giving times of the year.
Yeah, so with that, I mean, as we talk about Thanksgiving, as we get closer to the holidays, a lot of charitable giving going on. Let's go ahead and just get started, Joe, with kind of this first thing, and that is that, and specifically as it relates to the time of year, Thanksgiving, your charity and your giving needs to be driven by gratitude. Gratitude is, we've talked about it before, I'm sure, but such an underrated trait, such an underrated quality for a godly young man to have, is the ability to not just be grateful, but to notice things to be grateful for.
Yep.
You know, beyond just the big things, family and wife and girlfriend or good job or church family or whatever. Like,
or just thankful for the food.
Exactly. The food, and bless the military. Like, we should be grateful for those things.
It's important,
It is. But the ability to look at the small things, grateful for an air-conditioned car, grateful for sunrise on the way to work, grateful for just a quiet morning, grateful for a cup of coffee, things like that. And so gratitude needs to be kind of a part of our Christian walk. And so I think your charity and your giving very much needs to be driven by gratitude.
Yeah, I very much agree. I put down on this just as by way of almost homework to some degree, just thinking about this. Can you list 50 things that you're thankful for right now? Initially, I was going to say 20, and it's like, man, that's too easy. Can you sit down and list 50? And as Will said, I can look around this room and probably list 50 in this room alone of things that I'm grateful for, but I would challenge you to dig deep and to think a little outside the box on this, such as, I love the air-conditioned car. You don't really think about that all the time. It's like you just get up and go.
Or this time of year, I guess it's the heated car.
Yeah, exactly. This time of year, or for heated seats if your car has something like that. Like,
I do
find
not.
Yourself.
It's so sad. I don't have those in my car.
Oh, man. That's rough. I tell you what, when you hit the gym first thing in the morning and you walk out, like I walked out the other day and it was like 35 degrees.
Yeah, it's cold in the morning.
Like, I'm going to die. No. It was cold, man. It was really cold, which makes you a lot more grateful for heated seats or lack thereof, I suppose. Sorry, Will. Glad you have a car to get to work at least.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find the silver lining. But no, be thankful for those things. I also have on here, you know, when's the last time you offered a prayer of just thankfulness? Because it's easy to, we've talked about it before, treat God as a genie. Can I have this and this and please help this and watch over this person and heal this person? And, you know, we ask for all these things, but just take a moment and say a prayer of thankfulness. I'm thankful for everything that you have given me, and genuinely be thankful. And then on the other hand, can you list 10 people who are in need? People who could genuinely use your help, and pray that God might be able to use you in some way to meet the needs of those who are in your life. And so you want to be able to be grateful and have gratitude while at the same time looking at all those who are less blessed than you, who don't have maybe what you have, don't have the resource, the time, energy, whatever it is, the money. that you might be able to help. And I would pray for opportunities to help because, number one, charity is given, or charity slash giving is driven by gratitude.
Yeah, that's really good. Number two, and this is really important, Christians are expected to be giving people, giving type people. In other words, this is not an optional characteristic, an optional quality. Like, you don't really have to be giving. You can if you want to. Like, no, you're expected to be a giving person. Now, some are going to be able to give a lot more than others. In fact, sure. It's interesting that it's listed in several places as somewhat of a spiritual gift. And I think a lot of that is just some people are just going to be blessed with a lot more money, a lot more resources. Yep. They're probably going to be able to give a whole lot more. But as far as everybody who that is a Christian, everybody that's a godly man, giving should be a part of your personality. It should be a part of your characteristic, I guess I should say, a part of your life in some way. 2 Corinthians 9 comes to mind. Joe, I don't know if you have that pulled
up. Yeah,
I
got it pulled up.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all things, or all grace, abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed.
Yeah, we're supposed to be giving people, giving cheerfully. And then Matthew 6 is the other one comes to mind, not specifically referencing it doesn't use the word giving, but it talks about doing charitable deeds right before praying and fasting, kind of, you know, practical, I guess, or basic elements of the Christian life. And he says, when you do your charitable deeds, well, what's the expectation there? Not if, it's when. When yeah, you do charitable things, when you give money, when you obviously take care of the poor and things like that. And so it might seem like a pretty basic point here, but I feel like sometimes there are people that think this is kind of like, whenever it's convenient, maybe at the end of the year we'll do a big deal. No, like, you kind of need to be giving all the time.
Yeah, if I got a few extra bucks type of thing, yeah, I'll throw it on the plate at church or something. This is a conscious effort. You are thinking about this. We're giving cheerfully, meaning we've thought about this ahead of time, and we're actively and cheerfully, joyfully giving. It's once again, it's an expectation, meaning you have to set out ahead of time. Number three, if you're making an income of any kind, you should be giving financially somewhere. I think it's first off, we're commanded to give, as we just said. Christians are expected to be giving people. We see 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and that's often used. There's some debate as to whether that should be often used, but the whole point still drives home. We should be giving people and looking for ways that we can do it. And to your point, as you wrote this down, if you're making an income of any kind, you should be looking to financially support somebody, something. The work of the church would be ideal, I think. But if there are other opportunities as you go, of somebody who's really in need, a friend who's struggling, even going and buying a book for a friend that's like, man, I got just the book for you. Be charitable. If you make the money, you know, go buy in the book and look for opportunities to give. And of course, there's the idea of setting aside, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, setting aside 10%. How do you feel about the 10%?
Real fast, though. The reason I put this down is because, so I worked with young people for a while as a youth evangelist. I work a lot with young people at Chick-fil-A now, which is a different form, of course. I don't think giving is on a lot of young people's minds. And specifically within the church, my take on this is that if you have a job, if you're like living at home and don't just go to school, like that's one thing. But if you have a job, if you have an income of any kind, you need to be giving to the church. You're giving financially somewhere, because what'll happen, kid gets a job at 15 or 16 years old, right? I plan to make sure my kids have some kind of a job at that age. Let's say they don't give anything. It's not in their repertoire. They don't think about it. It's not a part of their life. And well, then they go off to college and get their first real job. Well, then, you know, things are kind of tight, right? They got to make sure they really watch their budget. And so it's like, well, you know, I'll get started on giving whenever I can. Well, then maybe they start to do a little better, and then they have kids come on and say, man, kids are really expensive. I got to start saving for retirement. My point is, like, if you don't make giving a part of your life early, it's really hard to add that in later.
No doubt.
Like, oh, okay, it's not like you're just going to be flush with cash when you hit 22 years old, unless you're a trust fund kid. Most of the time you're not. And so the temptation is going to be to continually put off giving, or do what Joe said a second ago, which is like, oh, I got 20 in the plate. Sure, I'll throw it in there. Like, that's another point I wanted to say on here, is you need to be very intentional with your giving. So I should have made that its own point here. But my point is, like, man, if you're 16, you got a job, start now. And so that gets us to the 10% thing, which is very interesting. Leviticus 27, verse 30, I think, is where that comes from.
Yep.
Tithing is the idea there. 10%, I would say, is not required. I'd say it's a good starting point. I'd say it's pretty easy to calculate. It's a good place to start, I guess, is where I would say. If you're given 1 to 2%, I think most people can look at that and say, yeah, probably not enough.
Yeah.
You know, if you're giving close to 10%, nobody, I don't think God is going to be, you know, got his clipboard out going, is that 10% or is that 9.2%? Like, I don't think we need to get into that kind of mindset, but I think 10% is a really good starting place. Specifically, you know, if you're a young person and you're making $400 a week or something working at Chick-fil-A or something, man, $40 a week in the plate, really, really easy to make that math work.
Yeah. The idea of offering goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, right? God rejecting Cain's and accepting Abel's, that's meaning true. They're already giving something back to Genesis 4. But we also see in Genesis 14 with Abraham giving a tenth of what he had to Melchizedek, there's a tithe of a tenth. And so that's not just in the law in Leviticus 27 there, but also going back to Genesis 14. But the concept itself is be giving. I love your word of intentionality. We got to be intentional on that. Yeah. There's this concept of give until it hurts. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think, because it seems like it has to cost us something. David says, I won't give to the Lord that which cost me nothing. And you look at seemingly Cain kind of did that, which whatever is offering, we don't know why it was unacceptable other than, you know, we can make assumptions that what didn't cost him enough or wasn't the best of his, I think he took from the herd and, or was he from the ground? And Abel gave from Abel flock, was the flock, I think. Yeah, I was going to say. I think Abel was the flock. And, yeah. And so Cain was from the fruit of the ground. Whatever it was, it just wasn't good. And so that tells us that there are times where our giving is not good, that is not acceptable to God, whether that be through the heart or we're just not giving him our best. This concept, though, of give until it hurts, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I would agree with it. What's difficult is that's different for everybody, the it hurts thing.
Yep.
I don't think give until it hurts means give until you don't think you'll be able to make your mortgage payment. I certainly don't subscribe to that. I don't think that that's the best way to, you know, give until you're not sure if you're going to be able to put food on your kid's table. Like,
right.
No, what I think that's referring to is like, man, you could be putting this money somewhere else, like, you know, saving up for vacation or adding more to an investment or buying a bigger TV and you're giving it to God. Like, to me, I guess maybe speaking for myself, Joe, and then there's the argument like, how much does that really hurt you? It doesn't hurt. And so maybe that's an area of growth for me. But again, like, I would love to start paying my house off a little bit faster. I would love to invest more. I would love to, again, maybe save up for some really nice vacations already, more than I'm already doing. And so I'm not doing those things, at least to the extent I want to be. And I'm, you know, giving to God. And so in that sense, it is a sacrifice. I mean, I guess maybe that's the word I would use. It's like, you need to make sure you're sacrificing something. Again, if you're making $80,000 a year, fairly modest amount of money, and you're given, you know, $10 a week, like, that does not seem to be, you're probably not giving until it hurts. That's literally a cup of coffee at Starbucks a week. And so I think there needs to be an element of sacrifice with your giving. Like, hey, I could do a lot of this other stuff with my money. I'm going to choose to give it to God. I don't know if I'm making much sense.
It makes perfect sense.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think you have to give everything away, right? I mean, that's the point, is it's not wrong to put in your investment. It's not wrong to...
You should put your family in jeopardy. Sorry.
Correct. And I don't even think it's wrong for you to go buy the TV. You know, oh, well, that could be given. You know, exactly. Well, that could be given. It's like, you know, that's the whole thing of the guy's not going to help his family because it's Corbin, right? It's dedicated to God. Like, no, help your family. Make sure you're taking care of yourself before that. But yes, I think the sacrifice is the key. Are you sacrificing something in that? So I think you said it well. The number four principle we have, be mindful to where you're giving or what you're giving
where
to.
You're giving to.
Where you're giving to. Like, this is, okay, so two things come to my mind. First is like the charities that are like majorly LGBTQ or something along those lines. Yeah. Like, just be very aware.
The Trevor Project or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Yeah. Or something where, you know, it's like, well, I'll just donate to that. Be very mindful of that. Be very mindful of like, oh, 95% of it goes to the CEO and 5% actually goes to the children it's supposed to help. You also want to do some research on that. The thing you have on here, though, I think is great, which is, man, it's not just blindly giving. Well, I gave to that homeless beggar like on the side of the road. You know, he was there. I gave him $20, and so I feel pretty good about myself. Like, okay, but it wasn't really mindful. It wasn't intentional. It really wasn't sacrificial in that way. So I think this is a great point to have on here. Just be mindful of where you're giving to. And, you know, I think it's great to give to the church. I also think it's great to try to find other places that you specifically can give to. People in need. You know, somebody online who maybe they got in a car wreck and they're struggling with their financial needs. And it's like, well, I'm giving to God. No, I think God wants you to take your money and to go help them and generous and supportive of them.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I mean, I think finding an organization or you got a family at your church that's going on a mission trip. Man, throw $50, throw $100 their way. Like, if you know, that certainly is something that I would encourage you not to just get tunnel vision and do, well, I drop my check in the plate every week. I give my money to God every week in the plate, and that's all I do. Like, that's great. We need to be doing that. But yeah, finding an organization that you truly believe in, like the homeless example, and maybe instead of giving $20 to the homeless person, you give $20 to an organization that you know the people in, they do a great job, who are trying to, you know, help with homelessness or something like that. Like, that's kind of the direction that I would encourage you to go when it comes to, you know, being mindful of what you're giving to. And yeah, not just doing it blindly, I think, is really big. But not to spend too much time there, because we got one more point and then some fun stuff. The fifth thing that we've got on here is look for other ways to give. Listen, we know that especially some of our listeners right now might not have a job or don't have a ton of cash on hand. Again, our position would be, if you're making any income at all, I didn't say this earlier, but one of the things that I remember about my childhood was my mom got us little Tupperwares with labels on them.
Yeah, we had a piggy bank.
Yep. Yeah, spend, save, and give. We didn't have jobs or anything, but we had, you know, she'd give us an allowance every now and then, or birthday money. And that habit was ingrained pretty early. Like, you can put some into spend, you need to put some into saving, and you absolutely need to put some into giving as well. And from what I remember, they didn't dictate how much. They let us decide. But I remember struggling as a kid if I was like, well, I got a $10 bill. How do I split that into the three? You know, it's like an 8-year-old or whatever. But like, yeah, spend, saving, giving, that's pretty much going to be the case when you're 40 as well. Like, you can do one of three things with your money. You can spend it, you can save it, or you can give it. And so just being in that mindset. But yeah, let's say you're not – I kind of sidetracked there. Let's say you are not making a consistent income right now or anything like that. Joe, what are some other ways that our godly young men can give?
These kind of become cliche from the pulpit or something like that. But it's so true for a 15-year-old. Like, maybe you're not working and making a ton or whatever it is. So, yeah, you're not going to have the opportunity. You can still give of your time. You can still give of your energy. You can still volunteer in certain places. Give of your efforts, I think. And so it's stopping and helping the guy on the side of the road who needs help changing a tire. It's going over to the little old lady's house. And, yes, you're giving up a little time on Saturday to go rake the leaves of somebody else. It's putting your own wants aside for a second. You got your video games. You love to play video games, but your dad really needs you to help clean up the garage. Okay, step in there and help him. Like, yes, you are giving of your time. Maybe you don't have a ton of money, but it's your energy that he really could use in that moment. That's the charitable giving attitude that we're talking about.
Right, that's what I was going to say. That's what we're getting at the start of the episode. Like, man, just be a giving type of person.
Yeah, right? Just have the attitude.
We had the travel episode, right? The travel etiquette episode. It was very self-indulgent. We really enjoyed it because we love to travel. Yeah. Not the most important episode, but man, I was editing it. One of the things I was thinking about as I was going back through it was your point about picking up the first tab. You're just being a giving person, right? I mean, buying, you know, going out to coffee with a friend and you just pick up their tab for them. It's $8, not a big deal, right? But you're a giving person. That's obviously a little bit different than what we're talking about. But like, you're not stingy. You're not selfish. Jack, your brother, has the really good analogy about, you know, the open hand policy with money. You know, you open your hand, God will put in. But as man, if you close it and you don't let anything come out, that's the attitude that we don't want to have. And so it obviously also would apply to our time. Yeah, are you know, are we volunteering to help, our service, whatever it is. So this was one that Joe had. I'm really glad he did.
Yeah, so that's the top five. I mean, are there other principles for giving? No doubt. Make sure to comment if you have some, for sure. We wanted to save some time. We wanted to, first off, make this a shorter episode. It's the week of Thanksgiving. We wanted to save some time to, at the end, for blind rankings. And
this is something we really enjoy doing.
We love doing blind rankings. It's so much fun. We have Thanksgiving foods and Thanksgiving traditions. So I made a list of traditions. I'm going to ask Will. He made a list of Thanksgiving foods. He's going to ask me, and I'm going to have to blind rank these. This is tough. How many did you come up with?
I have 13.
I got 11. We were going to do 10, and then his kept going, and I had an extra one to throw in there. So we're going to blind rank these. Do you want to go first?
Why don't you go first? Why don't we do food first? Okay. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Okay. So, and if you're here only for the biblical content and all the serious stuff, well, then you can turn it off and come back next week.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
We're going to have fun with the last 10 minutes of this episode. All right, Joe, here we go. So if you're not familiar with the concept of blind rankings, I'm just going to feed them to him one by one, and he just has to put them where he thinks. He doesn't know what's coming next. He has not been given this list beforehand. So, here we go. All right, so 1 to 13. The first one, dressing or stuffing? Dressing slash stuffing.
Honestly, I can't stand that stuff.
Really?
Bad take, I know, for a lot of people, but 13.
Going dead, already using his dead last. All right. The second one that I have, honey baked ham.
Oh, I hate to go 13 and 1.
Honey baked ham.
I hate to get this off the board, right, man, but I'm going to have to do, that's my number one. You're telling me my number one.
We are two in, and Joe has used his number one.
That's bold, man. That's bold.
All right. Third one I have, green bean casserole.
7.
Right down the middle. Right down the middle. These are just kind of traditional, Thanksgiving stuff. Fourth one I have, cranberry sauce.
Not a huge fan. I'm going to go 11 on that.
So quick recap. One is taken with honey baked ham. 7 is taken with green bean casserole. 11 is taken with cranberry sauce. And the dead last 13th, dressing or stuffing. Man, if I was doing this ranking, my mom's dressing is incredible. That's probably top three
for me. My mom's is really good too, from everybody, what they say. I just, you know, I'm not a fan, man. I don't like sage. Ugh.
Number 5, for the one that I have, pecan pie.
I'm ambivalent. Pecan pie is probably... Okay, I'll go 6. I'm a little less than
that. That's fairly high.
That's fairly high. Well, did I already took 7, right?
I did take 7.
It's a little too much for 8. 7 would have been right, but 6.
Okay. Mashed potatoes.
That's pretty good. 5.
5. All right, so he's got 2, 3, and 4 left. Creamed corn.
Oh, I love cream. These are tough, man. I love cream corn.
I think you're going to be very upset with how little room you're leaving.
I know, I know. I should have had the mashed potatoes at 8. And cream corn at...
So you got 2 6. Through 4, 8 through 10, and 12 available.
I'm still missing turkey. I'm still missing sweet potato casserole. Those will for sure go in there. I'm trying to think of what else I missed, and I really don't want to leave the room. So I'm going to have to say 8. Wait, did I say 8?
8's available.
8's available.
All right, cream corn, I love 8. Corn. That is low. For
that's low. That's bad.
Say. All right.
That's
bad. Sweet potato casserole.
Yeah, that's... Man, that's like a 2 for me. That's
going
pretty
2.
High.
All right, so 1 and 2 are off the board. How about strawberry pretzel salad?
No. You talked to my wife.
I did talk to her.
Oh, my goodness. That's 3. That could be number 1.
Wow.
I'm going to say number 3.
Going 3. So his highest one left is number 4. And then after that, you have 9, 10, and 12.
I'm really bad at this.
Yeast rolls.
That's number 4. Man, I should have left more room.
You were just in trouble.
So that means turkey's going to have to be 9.
9, 10, and 12. Fried turkey.
9.
Going 9. All right. We are have 10 and 12. Dutch apple pie.
I hate this. I hate this. 10.
Going 10.
And baked turkey, I'm assuming?
Nope. Number, the last one I have, Martinelli's sparkling grape juice.
If I had known you were talking to my wife, I would have left more room. I'm thinking more classic. Oh, man, that's rough.
So I did. 12. I've obviously got some basic ones, but I asked his wife.
Yeah, there's no way you would have known specifically.
That's right. All right, so Joe's official ranking, Joe, here we go.
That's
honey baked
horrible
ham
ranking.
Is 1. Sweet potato casserole is 2. Strawberry pretzel salad is 3. Yeast rolls 4. 5 mashed potatoes. 6 pecan pie. That's probably, you probably would have lowered that one.
I would have lowered that
green
one.
Green bean casserole number 7. Cream corn number 8. Fried turkey number 9. Dutch apple pie number 10. Cranberry sauce 11. Martinelli sparkling grape juice 12, and dressing and stuffing 13.
Some of those were right on.
What would you switch around? What would you?
I would put pecan pie and mashed potatoes lower. I would make obviously Martinelli's and Dutch apple pie higher.
Man, my wife has started to make for me, because my aunt used to make it. She doesn't come to Thanksgiving much anymore, but it's apple pie, but it's that cinnamon crumble on top. Oh my goodness,
just so good.
All right, my
okay,
turn.
Your turn. Okay. Your turn. Here we go. So these are traditions, Thanksgiving Day traditions.
Okay.
Watching Cowboys/Lions.
I'm a big football guy. Let's go with, I got to leave myself room. Let's go with 4, number 4.
Okay. Watching Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
That's good. That's a good one. I'm going to go with 6.
Okay.
I'm keeping my own list here, so I know what I have left.
Card games?
Oh, man.
Playing card games? / board games?
3.
Ooh, okay.
I love playing games.
Boy, 3, 4, and 6 are already taken. Thankfulness tradition. So either going around the table saying what you're thankful for. We used to do the thankful, like leaves or pilgrim's hats, and write it down.
It's probably pretty bad, like 9.
I was going to say. Now you get to look like a bad guy. The meal. Eating turkey, all the food we just talked about, the meal.
I mean, how low can I rank that one? That's like such a great part of Thanksgiving. I'm going to go 2.
2.
I still have 1 left.
Okay. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I don't necessarily enjoy that, but it would not be Thanksgiving at my house without it, my family's house without it. So I got to probably go in the middle. Let's go with, let's go 8.
8. Okay. People coming over.
I love having a lot of people over. We'll go 7.
7.
7 on that. So I've got 1 left, 5 left, and 10 and 11, my last 2.
Playing football.
Yeah, it's going to be 1 for me for sure.
Okay.
I figured that one was coming.
Yep.
We always do a football game every year, which is just so much fun.
Leftovers. The second meal.
I do enjoy that we eat at like 1 o'clock, get really full, and then we play football, and then there's leftovers galore after that. I'm going to say, I don't know what else is coming. I'll say 10.
10?
I'll say 10, yeah.
Okay. Black Friday shopping.
11. I could take it or leave it.
Honestly. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And
I enjoy it, but.
That leaves number, what, 5?
5.
Yeah. Going to grandparents.
Going to grandparents. That's fine. I'll okay. have that.
Okay, so that's not bad.
Did you get my,
yes. Okay. So, number 1, playing football. Yeah. Number 2, the meal / turkey. Number 3, card games. Number 4, watching Cowboys / Lions. They're always on every Thanksgiving. Number 5, going to grandparents. Number 6, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Number 7, people coming over. Number 8, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Number 9, thankfulness tradition. Number 10, leftovers. Number 11, Black Friday shopping. That's a pretty solid list. I was going
to
say, any?
I think I would move leftovers up. I do enjoy just the delicious leftovers. Probably to,
what would you move down?
6.
So swap Charlie Brown?
Yeah, probably. If I had to make a swap,
okay. I was trying to think of other things that.
Yeah,
that your wife mentioned, because I was like, there was one specifically she mentioned for you, and I thought, man, I don't know.
This isn't an everybody tradition, but man, me and my brother did this last year. I hope we can do it again. We stayed, we spent the night at my parents' Wednesday night and just played Madden for like 3 hours.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. My brother and I used to do that as well. That's a good tradition. Well, this is fun.
Yeah,
this is a good time. So we, once again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. If we missed any like classic foods, I don't think we did. You had a good list. Any classic foods, if we miss any on the traditions end, please let us know. Comments, Discord, whatever it may be. Make sure to join our Discord. We have 150 coming up to Ask Me Anything on episode 150. Make sure to join that.
Get
your questions in. Anything else?
No.
All right. This has been
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. This has been episode 147 of the Godly Amen podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.